The Holy Gospel according to John.
Glory to you, O Lord.
Jesus prayed, I have made known your name to those whom you gave me from the world. They were yours, and you gave them to me, and they have kept your word. Now they know that everything you have given me is from you. For the words that you gave to me, I have given to them, and they have received them and know in truth that I came from you, and they have believed that you sent me. I am asking on their behalf. I am not asking on behalf of the world, but on behalf of those whom you gave me, because they are yours. All mine are yours, and yours are mine, and I have been glorified in them. And now I am no longer in the world, but they are in the world, and I am coming to you. Holy Father, protect them in your name that you have given me, so that they may be one as we are one. While I was with them, I protected them in your name that you have given me. I guarded them, and not one of them was lost, except the one destined to be lost, so that the scripture might be fulfilled. But now I am coming to you, and I speak these things in the world, so that they may have my joy made complete in themselves. I have given them your word, and the world has hated them because they do not belong to the world, just as I do not belong to the world. I am not asking you to take them out of the world, but I ask you to protect them from the evil one. They do not belong to the world, just as I do not belong to the world. Sanctify them in your truth. Your word is truth. As you have sent me into the world, so I have sent them into the world. And for their sakes, I sanctify myself so that they also may be sanctified in truth. The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, O Christ.
Invite you to be seated. In this very poetic, metaphoric, deep, kind of circular prayer, Jesus prays so that we may be one as God and Jesus are one. I'm actually coming down from the cloud of a wonderful 3 days of Christian oneness. We were at the Synod Assembly Thursday, Friday, and Saturday morning, and then yesterday, a number of folks came to Pastor John Nelson now, his ordination, which was in Delaware, and so we were celebrating oneness with Delaware Lutherans and also Episcopalians. And then at the Synod Assembly, we were introduced to the newest pastors serving part-time in New Jersey. And there were more of them that came from Episcopalian, Reformed, UCC, Presbyterian churches that actually came from Lutheran. So there was just a sense of oneness in Christ over the past 3 days. I think that in the past 50 years, Christians have come a long way in getting along with one another, right? I mean, just imagine, only 50 years ago, the news of an impending mixed marriage sent parents and grandparents into a tailspin, and by mixed, I mean Catholic Protestant, never mind Jewish Christian or black white, right? We're listening to Jesus' farewell prayer from John. Jesus knows he's soon to be executed and will leave them on their own. And so we eavesdrop on his prayer for them, that his disciples be one. What does it take to make Christians one? Some say to be one, we need to hold conversations leading to formal agreements, such as full communion between denominations. And about this, Lutherans can feel really good. We don't brag too often, so it's okay. Not only did we help forge the way for the ecumenical movement in the 1950s and Lutheran-Catholic dialogue going back to the 1950s, but in the U.S., Lutherans have more agreements with other denominations than any other church tradition. So here, oneness is understood to come through church structures and agreements and votes. Others say that in order to be one, we have to agree on the issues of the day: sexuality, immigration, abortion, gun control, to name a few. Oneness comes from interpreting scripture in a certain way, understanding the issues in the right way, and taking a stand on them. I suggest that neither view is what Jesus prays for in today's gospel reading. For those who look for oneness from church structures, note that Jesus didn't pray to his disciples to make oneness happen, as though we can become one only by our work and our agreements. But who could argue against the benefits of such conversations, especially for the sake of non-Christians, right? You know, Christians condemning each other to hell tends to weaken our witness to a loving God. For those who look for oneness through a unified understanding on issues, again, Jesus prayed to God for our unity, not to his followers. Our oneness is not to come from our agreements over controversial issues or any issues. The church has never been in agreement over issues since day one, over food issues and eating and fellowship issues. The church has always been a place where there is room for different interpretations if the gospel is at the center of the interpretation. The Apostle Paul instructed congregations on how to interact with each other while disagreeing. In short, he asked for the strong to sacrifice for the sake of the weak and for love to be at the center. When it comes to Christian unity, I think we should continue to strive and work to find areas and ways to be one with other Christians. But in the end, Christian unity really is a gift to Christians, a gift in Christ. Jesus prayed to God, for God to protect us in his name. I think it's as simple as that. In Christ, we already are one. Amen? Baptized into the name we know for God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Not one in opinion or denomination, but one in Christ. Not by anything we do or don't do, but because God has made us one in Christ. In the crucified and risen Christ, we are already deeply connected. In our confession of sin, in our confession of the executed man Jesus as the clearest revealing of God to our world, we're one in our confession of the resurrection, God's gift of forgiveness to humanity. We're already one in Christ. And right before people just like us executed him, Jesus prays for us, for God to protect us and to make us one. And we are one, beginning in baptism, when we were baptized into Jesus' death and resurrection. But it doesn't stop there. God makes us one over and over again, because we need to be made one. We like to put up barriers and stand on the correct orthodox interpretation or action. At the end of the prayer, Jesus prays, "Sanctify them in the truth. Your word is the truth." We're made one over and over again in the word. God acts upon us through, in, with, and under the word. Word as in word of God, living and active. Not only the Bible, but the living word, preached and sung and spoken by the congregation to each other through our daily callings in this world. But first and foremost, word as in the word made flesh from John, Jesus, who again comes to us in the visible word, Lutherans call it, of bread and wine. God comes to us over and over in the bread and wine to forgive us and make us one. So you see, we are made new made one over and over again, week after week, one with the whole body of Christ, in heaven and on earth, the whole communion of saints. So the question isn't, are we one, or how can we better be one, but rather, because we're already one, ... And disagreements and differences? Well, I think the first reading in Acts, we can see an early attempt to deal with a potentially charged issue, right? In this new community of Christians, an attempt to decide with whom to replace Judas. But rather than a popularity contest or even a democratic election, we see the 11 making a reverent best guess. Reverent, first and foremost, in humility, turning to God for guidance. Best, using the best skills and resources available to them. But in the end, what they decided and what we decide in our lives is still a guess. Nothing in this life is absolute except the absolution. Reverent, best guess. Because we're one, brothers and sisters of the same heavenly parent, we pray for one another, we console one another, and even at times we confront one another in love as one forgiven sinner to another. In the end, God gives us the gift of unity with Christians all around the world, in all times and places. Imagine you are one in Christ. You have sisters and brothers in every land right now, of every race, of every language. Amazing. However, in sometimes in places, Christians are blind to this unity. That doesn't mean it's not always there. In the crucified and risen Christ, we are made one and renewed in oneness week after week in the Word. And because God so loved the world, Christ sends us out to bear this creative and redeeming word to those who so very much yearn to hear about such a loving God. Amen.